Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, everybody. We're now in that middle September phase, still beautiful weather here. Chuck and Julie Show. True Straight Up, Chuck Bynum and Julie Hayden, brought to you by
AmericasCitizenPress.com, a great conservative website that is, and it's AmericasCitizenPress.com, and also Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. A lot to talk about today. We should have Peg Cage joining us, grassroots organizer, joining us any second here by Zoom. And then Casper Stockham coming on too at about 3:40. There's so much. DPS students are walking out again, protesting Tate Anderson.
I love this. I love the students' activism against all the liberal.
Right. And then we've got, you know, the vaccine is safe for kids. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah.
You can trust them. You can
trust them. Dr. Fauci.
Trust the science. Yeah, trust Dr.
Trust
Fauci.
The science.
He says if you contradict him, you're contradicting good.
And if
logical
you,
public health.
Exactly. And if you were wondering why the thousands of illegal immigrants from Haiti coming across the border are being allowed into our country and they don't have to get the vaccine, even though you do, it's because Jen Psaki said they won't be staying here very long.
No,
they don't intend
to stay here very long. No, they're a couple weeks maybe at most.
And
sure.
The reason all of the people at the Emmys, the celebrities, did not have to wear a mask, even though everybody else inside in LA has to wear a mask, is because it was a TV production. So there you
go.
Well,
of course, health standards don't matter for TV productions.
No, there you go.
Excellent. Total logic.
I think the big topic of the day is what happened this weekend in Pueblo.
Yes. It was an interesting time. And the Republican Party, in its eminent wisdom, decided to not take the immediate and free alternative, which is simply voting to opt out.
Of the open primaries,
lost 60-40 approximately, but did decide that they liked the idea of a lawsuit, which costs tons of money. Of course, they no funding for it, but tons of money, and will take years at best. So there you go. Let's not do the cheap, quick, valid one. Let's do the long, expensive, and unsure way, and we're all for that. So I must admit, a lot of people, including Peter Boyles and others, have had kind of like, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But when you're down in Republican land, not much makes sense.
Well, and I think, you know, you guys were disappointed, obviously. Although, you know, once I'm always the optimistic one, but I agree with Jan Cook. To me, it was a win on a number of levels. Yes, you did not get the establishment people to vote in terms of opting out of the open primary and being a requirement that you have to be a registered Republican to vote in the Republican primary. But I think what you guys did raised a huge amount of awareness and education. You put people, I mean, the main reason you wanted to do that was because of all the Democrat dark money that's being poured into the Republican races. I think people are going to be watching out for that. And again, the reason
they'll watch out for it too late, because by the time it actually gets in the reporting things, they've already polluted the election and have got a rhino or swino elected, or more or less elected. So you never find out really what the money is.
But
until
I think
later.
Though eyes have been opened, I guess is what I would say. Eyes have been opened that there is meddling going on, that you need to take a close look. And we will be staying on this, a close look at who is running against who in the primaries. And I also think, you know, the reasons all the establishment people said, oh, we don't want to do this, is we're on the verge of winning. We're on the verge of taking over Colorado. Okay, well, we'll see how 2022 goes. And you know what? If we indeed take over this state and Heidi Ginnall or Greg Lopez wins the governor's office.
Heidi Ginnall. She'd be more of the establishment.
Well, but if any of that happens, I'll eat my hat or something like that, right? But I'm not really that worried about it. But I think that you did do a good thing. And I think the lawsuit, it's better than nothing, right? And
it's the same as nothing in many ways.
Well, because, you're taking the pessimistic view.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, because they didn't allocate any money to it. They said it's subject to appropriation which will not occur for 2 years. Well, you can't start litigation based on maybe you'll get some money 2 years from now.
Right.
What we'll be doing is...
Peg, I don't know. Thomas is saying he's going to give Peg, but I just got a text from Peg saying she's here. So Peg, are you there in Zoom? If you are, you want to unmute yourself and turn your camera on? Sometimes we have people show up on Zoom and we're not really sure who they are.
Is that Peg in the middle?
I don't know.
I can't tell.
Are you there? She says she's in, so I don't know. I don't see her. Hey, Thomas, why don't you go ahead and try to give her a call then? You see dogs cavorting in the background.
As usual, dogs. Dogs. Doggy-friendly show.
That's right. We take our dogs to work with us. At any rate, I mean, I think that this is... you guys, when you started this out, this whole campaign out, no one had ever even heard of it, right? No one knew what you were talking about. The establishment people, I think by their reaction, showed that they were totally terrified about,
They spent a small fortune to make sure that, and you do have to understand, and I must admit the legal counsel for the Republican Party had it right. He said, well, the donors like money spent in elections because right. the consultants do, and therefore they're for open primaries because they really don't care who wins as long as they can consult and
right.
make lots of money. So the big donors in the Republican Party would be happy to fund a losing campaign because they love to lose. They're very good at losing. But actually do something that where they're Republican Party does it on its own and its members. I mean, you can get Phil Anschutz media all over the place. Well, we got it all over the Colorado Gazette, Colorado Politics, Denver Gazette.
Well, and that's, and as I've said,
Independence Institute and everything else that Phil controls.
Right. And I think, and I've said this before, I think what we need to do, the grassroots people, is we need to start some of our own sort of digital and media. And I don't mean like a newspaper kind of thing, but organizations. I think because you see some of these stories that go out there and it's all the same people. It's all Phil Anschutz and tied back to him and some of those big donors. And I think we need to get one of our own. But I think in the meantime, though, one of the things, and you see by how much they attack you, what they are really, they being both the establishment Republicans and the Democrats, what they are really worried about is the Republicans waking up and saying, wait a minute, we need to take control back of our elections. You hear people saying, oh, you know, stop this deal, Donald Trump, quit talking about Donald Trump. And that's not what we're talking about. The reason they keep hammering that, just like they keep throwing up QAnon and all this other stuff, is they're trying to sort of distract you over here with insurrectionists. And the reality is they don't want us realizing the extent to which, the extent to which the changes in the election laws benefit the Democrats. The last thing they want to try to shame us all into and like Twitter us to death and troll us to death into saying, oh, I guess we just have to do it the way the Democrats say. Well, don't stand for that, right? Don't buy that. We need to change the laws to ways that at the very least are fair. I would go even further and say, let's pretend we're Democrats and do things that would benefit us. But that's why they stifle all of this talk. That's why they threw everything they had against at you guys, because they don't want us taking things in our own hands. They just kind of like, you know, if you were at the Emmys and you were the one serving the food, you had to go ahead and wear a mask. But if you were the movie star and the celebrity, you didn't have to wear a mask at all.
Well, you can ultimately tell now every Democratic source, from Axios Denver to Denver Post to left-wing websites like Colorado Polls and so forth, they all recommended to Republicans, and this was suicide for you. This would be terrible. You'd do awful. Now, if every Democrat is telling you that you
ought to, this
will be no good for you, like Ted Trimpa, oh, please do.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that their advice is, no. is a little, I mean, you know what they're saying is that it'd be great for the Republican Party. All the little swines go, oh, the Denver Post is against it. Oh,
it'd be like Tom Brady calling up Bill Belichick now that he's a Tampa Bay saying, hey, I was thinking to run on this offense. What do you think? You know,
yeah, you guys throw it right down the middle?
Yeah,
I think throwing it down the middle would be perfect for every play and let us know about it. And that'd be good for you. Don't run a offense we can't figure out.
No. All right. So we've got Peg Cage with us now. Hey, Peg, thank you. I know you had a long weekend. Thank you for your time once again this afternoon. And I guess just in general, your thoughts on the events of the weekend. Are you there?
surprise, Julie. Yeah, I'm here. I've got a weird connection. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes. Hear you, yeah.
Okay. If you need me to, I can stop the video and try and just go with the mic, but let's see how it goes.
Okay.
So I wasn't too surprised, Julie, about how it went. We're kind of used to them saying one thing and doing another, being all about integrity, and yet we went into the meeting with one of our main points being killed in committee. We wanted a roll call vote so that the people of Colorado could know how their representatives to the party voted
right.
on this really important issue, this opt-out issue. And so we submitted three different bylaw changes to the bylaws committee. All of them were not only killed in committee, but they were flipped on us, and they were made a higher goal to attain rather than giving us accountability. They gave the party more hideability.
Yeah.
So
there's a shock.
Kind of what I expected. I was really, really glad we got the lawsuit started anyway. At least approved.
Yeah, they haven't got started till someone is willing to file a filing fee.
well, on the other end, though, I mean, to me, I'm just like, why can't we work on that, right? I mean, I know, I understand where you're coming from, Chuck, and Chuck is, but to me, it's like, okay, well, let's work on that. And let's see if
that's
we can
what
get
they want you
to do.
Give them the money.
Well, not give it to them.
No, that's what
that's
what the approval said. Give it to them.
Well, no, I wouldn't do that.
And then if there's not enough money or some other reason, then give it to the party to spend away. Well, what donor is going to give any money if it's not really going to go to the lawsuit and Christy Burton Brown and Brownstein get to have it? I mean, you know, it's hilarious. But here's the one that I like, which is Mark Tiernan. Good news is that Chuck and the team exposed the swinos. Awesome work, Chuck. Thanks for supporting all of his travels, Julie.
Yeah.
We did expose who was who in the party. I mean, if you had any question where George Brockler stands, is he now after the red flag bill, after supporting LEAP, which is just a Democratic slush fund, he came out, oh, no, I don't care about the constitutionality of laws, which he said in his debate with Randy Corbin. Watch, I thought that's strange for DA.
For DA to say, he's
sworn to sold up the Constitution. But moreover, you know, we can't do this. We must stay with the other one. So we know on the scale of swino grassroots, George Brockler is pretty solidly in the swino category. Wouldn't you say, Peg?
What?
Peg is frozen. Maybe you ought to do it by phone. I think.
Yeah.
Why don't we try to
grow up just a bit. I think this new term swino, I'm wondering what's your...
Peg,
what we're going to do
turn off
is,
my camera, guys.
Turn off the camera. That's
no, don't even do that. We'll call
Thomas
you.
Says. That's what Thomas says.
Okay, turn off the camera.
Try turning off the camera.
Right, let's give that a try.
Oh, all right, there you go.
Is that better? Is that
better.
A better connection then?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Perfect. Thank you. So I'm interested in your new term, Chuck, the swino.
Well, swino
what
sort of covers...
Stand?
Yeah, swino covers anybody who's really in the swamp. It's technically S-W-R-I-N-O.
It should be swino, but that doesn't sound as good.
But we like to pronounce it as swino. But it also covers people like John Caldera. Now, he's not a Republican in name only. He's not a Republican at all anymore. He votes in Democratic Party. Or Peter Boyles. He says, I'm not a Republican. You go, okay, you can't call him Republican name only, but they are in the swamp, so they're swinos.
It covers
all of them.
I know
whether they are part of the massive horde that are unaffiliated or they're part of the ever decreasing number of Republicans. So I think it's
and we should explain it. I don't know because Mark
well, I was encouraged that
Oh, I was just going to explain this swino because we did get some questions about it. So I read it in a column and I think I'm going to give credit to Matt Arnold for it. Although I'm not, I don't
he,
really.
Yeah, I don't, he was the person who told me.
Okay. And so, and I just like it. And what it implies, I mean, it's a spinoff on the Republican in name only, a rhino, but a swino is essentially, it's a swamp creature. It's and so I get that all the letters don't make up, but it's such a good name, I think. So, so that's what when we're.
Onomatopoeic, I think.
When we're using
it sounds like at what it is.
Right, exactly. But anyway, Peg,
I like it.
Well, and I think like Chuck says, that this battle, and Mark has a good point, among other things, like I said, it educated people, it brought these issues up to the front, it told people what you need to keep your eye on, it showed us how alarmed the establishment is at the grassroots taking power. I think it showed that the grassroots movement, if that's what you want to call it, is growing. There are a lot of people out there sick of the establishment Republican Party in Colorado.
Absolutely.
And I think all of that was something that you guys accomplished. And I'm just going to, I know, Peg, you guys are probably all exhausted and you fought hard. You traveled the state, but I'm going to ask you to keep going. I mean, I think we have some momentum here, and we didn't win the big battle in the opt-out, but we knew that wasn't going to happen. If they thought it was going to be even close, I mean, they would have pulled a fire alarm or something. They were not going
to
let...
They were willing to pull a fire alarm.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly why we thought that it was in Pueblo, because they had put this mask ordinance in place, and we thought as sure as we would get close to getting the right number. I mean, we had an 83% turnout, Julie. There's never 83% turnout. We had them riled up. So we thought that they would go ahead and close the meeting, not have it at all, if they thought we were close, and they would say, oh, we can't have any more big public meetings, but you know, COVID. So, but they didn't pull that. I had the opportunity to talk to the chairman of the Pueblo Republicans, and he said, oh, they wouldn't have done that because the chili cook-off weekend is the next weekend. So
they might do it afterwards. It would have magically, COVID would have been cured in time for the chili cook-off. Well, then I think that's good. And, you know, and again, if the establishment Republicans want to join our side, if the establishment Republicans say, you know what, we're actually tired of losing. We're tired of our state being taken over with heroin safe injection sites, with critical race theory going on in our schools, with, you know, with social engineering through taxes, they can join us. Right. That's we don't need to. We're not trying to kick anyone out of the party. We're just saying we need a party that actually represents Republicans, that Republicans with the Republican intentions control, not something that's just controlled by developers and you know, and consultants and people who are only concerned about money.
That's exactly right. That's what we're supposed to be doing as Republicans, isn't it? We're supposed to keep the republic. That's in our purpose statement, to promote and get candidates elected who believe in our values and our principles and who will govern that way. Right now, our government in the state of Colorado, 94% bipartisan. Do we have a problem in our legislature? 94%. And you saw all the nonsense that came out of. There's nothing for the people in that legislation. It was all against the people.
Right.
Well, we're not, in case you haven't gotten the word, and we've been told by the party chair, so we know this is close and near and dear. We're not really trying to get people who believe in our platform elected. They have to believe in the new commitment to Colorado.
No.
Oh, my.
Those three main pillars of that incredible coach include, the first one's affordability. Now, anybody knows that if you ask a Democrat, what does affordability mean? Rent control. That's what affordability means for a Democrat.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. For a Republican on the establishment, affordability means being given parkland turned over to them in a city so they can build low-cost, cheap apartment houses.
With tax increment financing.
With tax increment financing and high rents. Right. That's affordability to an establishment Republican. And so, you know, we can get affordability. The second one is see, affordability. Oh, public safety. Public safety for a Democrat is to fund the police. Public safety for an establishment person is keep them out of our gated community. So, you know, we're okay doing whatever they want. And the third one is school choice.
Yeah. School
choice for a Democrat means you can go to any school that they tell you you must go to. For establishment Republican, it means that they don't care because they're going to send their kid to a private school.
So you can choose whatever.
You can choose all these great ones, which have been poll tested. You know, incredibly. It's affordability. Affordability tests very high with unaffiliateds and others, as long as you know what the definition of it means.
Well, Peg, let me ask you about this.
I was at that press conference where they released that silly paper. And the first question was, what do you think about the opt-out? Mm-hmm. First question from a reporter, what do you think about the opt-out? Oh, well, that's not what we're talking about here. Okay, second question, what do you think about election integrity? Oh, that's covered under number 8. No, I don't see election integrity here. Well, we're talking about holding our elected officials accountable. Well, that is not number 8. That is number 1. And that is number 1.
It's not anything.
Accountability. Everybody that we talk to.
Yeah. What is accountability? This is my favorite thing these days. And what's accountability mean to an establishment Republican? It means that everybody reports to a few money guys. That's accountability. You fall in line and do what the money boys want.
Well, and here's the thing again, I want everybody, it's a psyop. Just remember that always. The reason the Democrats are jumping up and down and they slam everybody and they throw this QAnon stuff around anytime you talk about election integrity is because they are really worried about it. They are really worried that Republicans, and I'm not talking about, we'll get into other stuff later, but I'm not talking about Dominion machines or this or that. What I'm talking about is the Democrats changed the rules. They've been slowly doing it. Then it went on steroids during this whole COVID thing. They changed all of the election rules in ways that completely benefit them and hurt really the country, but especially Republican candidates. And they want to do everything they can to squash any discussion. They call it racist. They call it crazy. They say, oh, it's a litmus test. And if you say anything about it, you're crazy. But no, that's why they're trying to quash it, because they don't want us saying, well, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't have, you know, ballot harvesting. I don't know. Maybe you should have to be an American citizen to vote. I don't know. Maybe you should only get to vote once. You know, I don't know. Maybe you're the one who has to fill out your ballot and not some sweatshop someplace, or they just fill out dozens and then they drop them in the nearest, you know, drop box. They don't want us talking about that.
No, they don't. One of the most revealing comments that I heard this weekend was that the platform of the Republican Party is that we have the gold standard elections until we find out what comes out of Maricopa, and then maybe we'll have to change our point of view.
Oh, well, no, Julie, I don't know. If it was Arizona,
that's
a totally different place. If the Dominion voting machines were crooked there, they would never be in Colorado.
Never be here. That's what they would say. Yep. Well, you know, I've been on election integrity ever since I started in politics.
That's right.
And if you look at that My Colorado GOP website, there's records going back in Boulder County until 2010. And we certified very, very few of the elections that we had since 2012 with the mail ballots, because we had a team of people who watched what happens. And they said, wait a minute, there's no way you can have, point of contact. You can't have contact. You can't have tracing of the ballots. Where have they been through the whole process? Julie, right now, we do not cast our ballots. They've taken the part where the public cast our ballots and they've put that in the county clerk. The county clerk doesn't even have to say where at what part of the process our ballot is cast. All of these ballots come in, they get counted, they go through the Dominion system, and we get a number. We have no idea where those numbers came from. And we're supposed to trust them.
And Jenna Griswold, the Secretary of State, it made it clear we're not doing any audits.
No audits. Here, the gold standard.
I want to read this from Dr. Donna. She talks about Dave Williams, who, by the way, I think is a true hero in all of this, Representative Dave Williams. She says, as a decent post in the Pueblo County Republican Party's Facebook group, and it says, those elected officials who oppose the opt-out and favor the crooked open primaries must really trust the Dominion voting system to count the votes. The next time they talk about election integrity, remember how they voted to keep the rigged open primary system that the Democrats control. And ask yourself why. Oh my gosh, we've got all these comments. People are loving what you're saying. What is Charlene? Oh, Charlene is talking about Heidi Ginnall. The platform is pro-life, isn't it? But is Heidi Ginnall? Charlene, that's one of those other things that we're not supposed to talk about. Okay. We can't talk about that because Joe Biden, he's a Catholic, right? And, you know, I mean, it's just that there's so many things they don't want us to talk about. And Peg, what you guys did that was so great is you shined a light on, you know, you picked up the rock and you shined a light on what's kind of going on inside sort of the, I'll just use a polite word, convoluted apparatus of the Republican Party establishment in Colorado. And I think that they all went scurrying, you know, but I think we need to keep the light on. And I really hope that.
Well, there's a lot of scurrying going on. You know, one of the things I told Peg is that it's more important to me to maintain friendships with people like Bannon and Neil and Peg and everything else, and even yes. win the deal. Yeah. And one of the sad parts is it does cause fractures. I was one of the people who urged Ben not to ask for a roll call vote because he wouldn't have gotten what he wanted. And I think Peg did the same. But Ben's heart was in it, and he felt like he betrayed his principles by not making it. And so the saddest part to me is not the loss, but that Ben really felt that his honor was, and I don't think it was, I think he did everything he possibly could. And it's also,
oh my goodness,
every much as a hero as Dave Williams is.
Oh yeah. All of you guys are. I mean, all of you guys are. But I will
let Peg respond.
Oh, okay. I thought you did. I'm sorry, Peg.
Oh no, I just wanted to say we did. We went around the town, went around the state telling people, you will know how your Colorado state party representative voted, because we're pushing for a roll call vote. Well, like I said earlier, they killed our proposals in the bylaws committee. They have no authority to do that, but they did it. Another thing we found out is they are perfectly happy and protective of their secret society position. They, all of these people who were elected bonus members, the chairman, everybody was elected to represent the party from that local area to the state. And we started out this thing handing out to all of the people who came to the meetings, the representatives from their area, their bonus members and their chairman and vice chairman, so that everybody would know who to call. Let's talk to these people who represent us on the state board. They shut us down so fast and told us, no, this is secret information.
Yeah,
and
yeah. You
have, well, now we have an executive committee. And according to the latest reiteration by our brave chair, you can only know the net result of the ones. You can't even know it was 10 to 2 or 15 to 5 or whatever else. You can only know what the up or down or tied was. You can never, nothing can be revealed. And so we really have a party that is, everything is hidden from you. Everything is hidden from you.
Well, and that's because, and let's talk a little bit about, you know, what next? Because it seems to me a couple of things are clear. One, I think we need to start working now to find some people who will, I mean, you know, Priscilla Rahm and Marilyn Harris, the secretary and the vice
chair. Rock stars.
They are great, right? But I think, you know, in spite of, you know, we supported Christy Burton Brown because we thought she was better than the alternative. And right now, I don't think it would have made much difference. I think we need to right now start looking at some people who we think would be good tier people and to start getting things lined up. I also think that what we need, and I've been saying this for a while, one of the reasons that you guys got beat is there was this media narrative against you, completely misrepresenting what you were trying to accomplish, and or we were all trying to accomplish. And that's because the media, the, all the organizations are basically controlled pretty much by Phil Anschutz. I think what we need to start looking at is getting an alternative, you know, some websites, some blog sites, things like that. I mean, start talking to people on our site and say, what can we do for that to make sure that we can push our narrative? And do the Democrats do a great job at it. In fact, that's part of their whole strategy.
I think one of the things, you know, some people want a separate party, which is just fine, but you already got separate parties out there, like the Constitutional Party and the various ones, and they have no effect. But we do have to start doing things like they did in the U.S. Congress with the Freedom Caucus.
Right.
Said, wait a minute.
Right.
They started with the Republican Study Group, and then all the swinos quickly, you know, piled in there, and it was worthless. And so they started the Freedom Caucus and said, you can't just join. You have to not be a swino. And I think it's great, because if you see a congressman, you first say, well, is he in the Freedom Caucus or not? And if it's somebody like Doug Lamborn and they're not,
that tells you something.
Yeah. I mean, yes, true. It's not totally perfect because Ken Buck is in the Freedom Caucus, but you know,
there should be statute of limitations. Yes, you have to renew.
He ought to be thrown out. We ought to start a Freedom Caucus in the Republican Party where, you know,
this is from Charlene. She's right again. She's got a good point. She goes, call it the winning caucus.
Charlene, call it the winning caucus.
Well, whatever you call it, it's at least people could.
I like the idea of coming up with our own contract with Colorado, and we start with election integrity, and we show what we've been doing so far. I mean, I'm with the Colorado Election Integrity Project, and my track record is there in the. In the annals of the bowels, let's say, the bowels of Boulder County records, that I would not certify those elections as chairman, and that, you know, we've got all of this election integrity stuff on the website, mycoloradogop.org. And we've got how the caucuses work. You know, we've had several chairmen who hate the caucuses. They've even come designs on how to replace the caucuses. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a republic. A republic is a representative form of government that starts at the precinct level. And if we can do that, I think we jump on board with the precinct caucus project. And anybody that, you know, Steve Bannon is number three, and he's standing up for all of the type of things that we want to stand up for.
Right.
So we know that this is happening around the nation.
Yes.
And people in Colorado tend to get fed up and perturbed because they get shut down. Well, we've been shut down every time we've tried anything. But we've been winning too, because we did have that in-person meeting this spring when we thought that was so important. You know, they still use the hybrid election stuff, but the hybrid electronic voting, which is, you know, they can mess with that. And we knew that. That's why we wanted to meet in person and use paper ballots. We got paper ballots this time.
I think that failed.
We got, well, not for the for the executive committee. I think the issue
was for officers, whether officers would be by paper ballot, and that failed. According to the email by
we got to check on that, Chuck, because, I hope you're wrong.
You're right. I mean, I think there are just a number of things. The momentum is there. And, you know, like I said, you didn't get entirely the result you wanted. But I think when you guys started all of this months ago at the beginning of the summer, frankly, I'm like, oh, that's cute, Chuck. You guys go and you have fun. You know what I mean?
We did have fun.
And that's what you did.
We did.
I thought it was, you know, and then he would come back and he'd be like, you know, look, people support this. We're hearing this from all these people. I mean, you guys went from, you know, talk about David and Goliath when you, you know, you had didn't even have a stone to throw when you first started. And I think you guys launched, you could tell by the way they were reacting, right? And the reason I think that it was so effective is because you are right. And people see that you are right.
That's
people
right.
don't
That's
want right. Democrats meddling in our election. People, all of right. these things that you guys
well,
are
Well, some
saying,
people want Democrats. Well, Phil Anschutz wants Anschutz Democrats wants. Meddling sure. in elections because he also...
Yeah, that's something that we heard all over, isn't it, Chuck? Oh, yeah. We didn't vote for this. We don't like it. But we can't possibly, as Republicans, we cannot figure out another way to do this.
It's
we can't
impossible.
Possibly get around
they
it.
They can do it in Virginia, but they got more money than we do. And we can figure it out.
And they got smarter people.
Yes, you know, so
it's
just stupid.
It's so frustrating.
One of the great ones. So this is one of my high points of this convention this weekend. So everybody said you'll disenfranchise by using the caucus system.
Yes,
all
yes,
those who don't
yes.
bother to go to a caucus and so forth. So then we had a vote of how many delegates we should have to the Republican convention. Now, normal logic is you want to get as many people as you reasonably can there, because those are the people who come back enthused and who will be walking the neighborhoods and everything else. So it was whether to have a higher number or a lower number. And the Senator Froghorn, known better as John Fielding, would come out.
Hey,
we hated him. And by the end of the time, people were booing him. And people were trying somebody had a resolution prepared to execute him on the surface right there. Yes, they were.
Yeah.
but let me finish it. So he, you know, they said, because Christie obviously didn't want to have to deal with 4,000 Republicans when she could deal with 3,500 Republicans or whatever the numbers were. She said, no, we can't do this. We can't handle, you know, an extra 700 Republicans. God, you know what they're like?
Those messy voters. I hate those when that happens.
And that was one vote we won, one of the few votes we won where they decided to do the higher number. And Christie, in retaliation, threatened to make me in charge of the food and beverage.
That would have been scary.
It couldn't have been worse than the last one that was running Boulder. Karen Cataline went to both. She went to both.
Oh, that's
the
right.
Democratic one, the one, and she said how incredibly crappy the Republican was compared to the Democrat
convention. Hey, Peg, listen, we've got to let you go. We got cast first. Well, let me just a final question for you.
Let me say one.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I think one thing that is lost in all of this is that the end goal is to elect elected officials who will stand on the Republican Party and represent Republican values and principles and vote that way. And if we forget, and I think we have, that there are no Republicans in the, there are very few real Republicans, and they stood with us on this issue. There are very few Republicans who are standing up for our values. And you can see what happens when Republicans are not in government. We have total tyranny here in Colorado, and it's going nowhere good fast.
That's right. Nope. And they're going to work harder. Well, Peg, thank you. We're all going to obviously stay in touch. Next steps too. We'll be talking about all of that and keep everybody informed. Thank you for your time. I hope you get sort of a well-deserved, you know, rest now.
Great job. You. Great job working with you for 7 months, Peg. It was really
Oh, it's been great, privilege. Chuck. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Peg. All right. Now we got Dr. Donna said, I thought Republicans portray themselves as smart. No, they don't. There's two parties, the party of evil and the party of stupid. Everyone knows which one's the party of stupid. Republicans, it's amazing when you talk to some, and I remember one guy got incredibly frustrated when I said, look, you know, he says, all we have to do is link arms. I said, no, you got to figure out, you know, how to win elections with ballot harvest and ballot mule. He says, no, just as Donald Trump said, we must lock arms. And I kind of went,
That's not what Donald Trump said.
All
well,
right.
You got a lot of cars, but you also need to deal with the whole ballot harvesting.
Whoa. And then there are
their efforts to get rid of the Electoral College. Those things aren't going to go away. County. But again, you guys did you did a great job. And I think people are aware, people are educated. And again, people are fighting back and people are, I think, looking around and you're looking what's happening in the country and you're looking around and, you know, little things you're saying like, well, wait a minute, why can't we do that? Why can't we have more delegates? Why can't we have a more representative government? You know, and again, insanity is a definition of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So I think 2022 is going to be, you know, a big eye opener for even more people. So I think that this was the first effort. And I think you guys, I think there's a lot of good things still to come from
all
of this.
Well, here's another one from Dr. Donna saying, it appears that way. Should locally we hear people unity, become united? What does that mean? Well, I can tell you what that means because I've been there. When we were talking to a leading Republican in the state, who said that if the grassroots gets its way, we'll have a divided Republican, split Republican Party for the next couple of decades. And I kind of went, well, it means the grassroots wins, we're split for a couple of decades, but the establishment means
wins.
And then we are united.
Yeah.
So I can promise you, united means no grassroots, no constitutional conservatives, Phil Anschutz.
And not just eliminate the whole primary anyway.
Yeah, just let Phil pick. He shouldn't have to spend all that.
Save a lot of time and effort
just
anyway.
Let Phil pick and we can get rid of all the other stuff and make it easier.
That's right. That's right. Hey, I think though one other man who is involved in doing a great job in the fight is Casper Stockham. I think I saw him come in on the Zoom room. Casper, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you okay. Thank you for your time. Hey, I don't see you. Is your camera on? Do you have, sometimes people put the little tape over it so that that's, so
I took my tape off.
Him. Okay. I don't know.
Well, I still don't see you.
We don't see you, but we can hear you just fine.
Okay.
So, you know, you're doing more than just talking. You are one of the great things you're doing is you're training candidates. You are not just a consultant taking their money and telling them good luck out there after you
free
you know,
market,
after you have
free
the free market going on. You've been there yourself. So, you know what it's like. You've fought battles. You've dealt with
against the establishment.
But let me ask you, so you've got some other stuff going on too, that you wanted to update us on. So why don't you just go ahead?
Yeah, no, I've been listening to the show. I was there on Saturday, and I was telling Chuck earlier today on the phone, we were talking about it. I said, so we voted to not take the free route to the opt-out. We're going to pay to opt-out.
The one will take you, one will act automatically, and the other will take at best 5 years. So it's
It's organized by lawyers, even though you're a lawyer. It's like,
unbelievable. No, but we're doing continuing with our candidate training. So we have a new class starting up this Saturday. It's still room for folks to join that class. We have unlimited space online, so they can join us online. And we actually have a guy that lives in New York's state. He's going to be one of our students this time. But we have still room for in-person training and virtual live training. And they can go to AmericaFirstRepublicans.us for more information about the training class. That's AmericaFirstRepublicans.us.
Okay. Let me have you talk a little bit about how, because I believe this, how important it is that we have this kind of training rather than just having people sitting around in the living room and saying, I think I'm going to run for Senate.
Well, they can go down to, you know, leadership program of the Rockies and anybody who's ever gone to leadership, hoping that that'll be a ticket to anything. And all it is just lectures that they pay a fortune to stay at. Who else is Phil Anschutz?
Broadmoor.
And then if they finish that, they try to network, they try to make it, but they're given no help in their campaigns. They're not sure what all there is to know that Phil owns Colorado, at least the Republican Party, and then you're all set. You're in good shape.
Right. Right. Well, I'm an LPR graduate 2014, and I was expecting once I announced the first time that I'd get maybe some help and support from LPR, and that really didn't happen. You know, they're not about that. Now, had I won, they would have claimed me as their own. They would have said, oh,
yeah.
See.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that did not happen.
Never happens. Everybody thinks they're going to be, Bill is going to be contributing to their campaign, at least give them some campaign workers, or at least give them a call and go, good going, Casper. Nothing.
Right.
It's just
no.
Radio silence.
Well, and so what do you guys do? And again, kind of talk about why it's important that somebody, and thank God you are, is doing it.
Yes. Yeah, so our class, and we have several classes that we're working on putting together, but our main class is a advanced candidate training class. Mm-hmm. So this is for someone who thinks they may want to run, not really sure, don't know where to get started. They start in this class. It's a 9-week course.
Wow.
They start from day one, not knowing anything about politics. By the end of it, they are a full-fledged candidate.
Okay.
Or they drop out.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
You know, because
they find out really what it's about.
Exactly. They realize halfway through that, this is not what I want to do.
Right.
But we have a lot of our graduates go on to volunteer for campaigns.
Right.
Because now they know exactly what the candidate needs to be successful. So even if they're not the candidate, they go on to help campaigns. So we have folks who have announced their run for local school boards and local county commissioner races. We have
Eric Auckland, yes. Who is one of the leading candidates.
Exactly.
The Republican primary went through
for
your
Senate.
Program.
Yeah.
For the Senate race. Yeah. He was in our first class.
Wow.
So we have some high profile U.S. Congress and Senate candidates. Jules Gray in the Adams County area. She has announced to run for CD8, which is still in formation.
Right.
But she's going to be running in CD8. So she went through our class this last cycle. So we have and there's going to be more, by the way. I believe Ryan Gonzalez is also going to be making an announcement here shortly for his run.
What kinds of things do you tell people? I mean, what do you teach them?
Do you teach them to lie, cheat, steal?
We teach them how to harvest ballots.
Yeah.
No, it's a class of, like I said, it takes them from not knowing anything to being a full-fledged candidate. So we say, this is what you need to do if you're going to run. You need to sign up with the Secretary of State website. You need to go here. You need to get all these pieces in order. You need to have a campaign manager. You need to have a treasurer. You need to know how to fundraise. You need to know how to do a 3-second pitch in front of a room.
Right.
So all these types of things. You need to know how to market on social media.
Right.
You need to know how to do a press release.
Yeah.
All these things. And we teach them about the Constitution and that crazy thing like the Republican Party platform.
There you go.
Well, Dr. Donna said she was in the first round of classes along with Jules, who's running for the 8th. And Eric.
Well, there you go. So all right. Well, where can people then find out more, Casper, if they're interested or maybe interested later on, or even want to help? I'm assuming you'll take any and all financial support you can get too.
Absolutely. So we are a nonprofit, so we definitely are looking for funds to keep the lights on and so forth. You know, we've been gracious to be given some space at the La Prensa newspaper outlet. So we're in their offices, but eventually we want to have our own office. So we need money for that. And I typed the website in the chat, but it's AmericaFirstRepublicans.us. That's AmericaFirstRepublicans.us. And just click on the training tab.
Perfect. All right, Casper, thank you for all you do. Thank you for keeping us posted on what you have going on.
Good luck, Casper.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Yeah, what he does is so important because the Democrats do that. You know, I mean, they have their Emerge program. Theirs is at steroids compared to ours.
Well, ours is just nascent. I mean, just beginning. I mean, we had the LPR, but that was, somebody said, seems like a rah-rah club. And that's basically what it is. But it costs you a fortune to stay at the Broadmoor for it.
So well, I guess, well, yeah.
As long as you got some golf in, it wouldn't be too bad.
It wouldn't be too bad. Hey, on Wednesday, we've got a few minutes left. On Wednesday, we're going to have Wayne Allen Root on. He's a columnist. You see him kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. And he's got some, he's like more high energy than me, even after I've had some of the caffeinated sparkling water.
He must be going to sleep, must be taking some major sedatives.
You know, there's other things we didn't really get a chance to talk about. The whole thing going on at the border is interesting. And again, Biden is just, there was another poll that came out. 49% of the people, I think it is, don't think, only 49% of the people think Biden is mentally capable of running the country. Things are looking bad. So I think it's easy to get discouraged and you look at what you guys went through, but you know, the tide is turning and I think we're seeing people, you know, more F Biden chants, you know,
at football games. I just feel like going to a college football game so I could do the chant.
I mean, you know, and I just want to see Dr. Fauci tell all those kids they got to get booster shots. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think they should tread very carefully with this vaccine for 5 to 11-year-olds.
Since we have a 10-year-old. Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, I just think parents are not going to like it. I mean, they say it's safe.
They could care less if the parents like it. But this is just training indoctrination of how to take over and turn this into a socialist state.
I think that people are starting to wake up and fight back. Well, and then now, you know, we have to get the vaccine. You know, how did all of a sudden, you know what, 14 days to flatten the curve or whatever it is. Now your kid goes to prison if you don't get him a vaccine that we don't know anything about.
Right. When this all started, it was 14 days to flatten the curve. And they knew that, you know,
that was where the
camel gets the nose under the tent, you've had it.
Well, I mean,
your government just what I love is the strike on the ISIS-K people.
Oh, yeah.
They're all in the secondary explosions that killed civilians, because that's really the fault of the ISIS-K. And then the New York Times goes there and, oh, no, he's an aid worker giving out water to people, and he killed 7 children. And
the question is, did we get that information from the Taliban, number one? And if you did, why on earth are we trusting the Taliban? Like, the Taliban would be like, oh, I know, there's Bill. Let's tell him. There's a terrorist. Well, he's about to bomb the airport. You better drone him.
Well, the other point that somebody brought up is they said, we use the same rigorous standards we've used for years.
Yeah, great.
Which means they've been butchering people and claiming victory for time. They said they may even consider sending some restitution to who?
Well, left. Again, you know,
and it'll all go to ISIS-K, Senator ISIS-K, because they helped you purportedly killed one of their greatest operatives ever.
Right.
And you can believe nothing.
Well, the U.S. government tells you. One other thing I wanted to say about the vaccine is, so you read all the headlines, vaccine safe, all the kids have to get vaccinated. Then you read further down in the article where the Pfizer study said, actually, we don't really know anything about kids in the vaccine because given how rarely kids get severely ill, the trial wasn't big enough to draw any conclusions at all about the vaccine for children to either prevent COVID or hospitalization. So in other words, they want you, there so few kids get sick from it that they can't even do a decent test on it to come up with any conclusions.
But your kid needs to be,
give me a break.
I do want to pay a compliment to Julie right now. Nice glasses.
These are
much
improved.
Much improved.
You
look
like, yes. I can't actually see anything.
Well,
it's
okay. You look a lot better with this.
Thank you. All right. Hey, that'll wrap it up for us today. It's Wednesday, Wayne Allen Root. You can get this show and all the shows at chuckandjulie.com. Thanks to Casper and Peg, the great guys at BBS. Thank you to everybody on Zoom and everyone listening.
And I'd like to thank all the people who supported us for 7 months and all my teammates and everything else. It was a great ride. A lot of fun. I think we did a lot of good. We would have liked to do even better, but that's not always possible.
All right. We'll see you Wednesday.
Bye-bye.